Scripture reading for the lesson will be Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 through 6. It's Isaiah 53, 4 through 6. Surely he has borne our sickness and our pains. He bore them, yet we regarded him as a plague, and stricken by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him, and with his wounds we ourselves are healed. All we are like sheep gone astray. We have turned each man to his way, and Jehovah has made meet in him the iniquity of all of us.
It is definitely a blessing to be with you here this morning, and I appreciate the invitation. On the night that Jesus was betrayed by one of his own disciples, Judas Iscariot, Judas approached the high priest and questioned, "What will you give me to betray him?" And they said, 30 pieces of silver. And it was agreed upon event where at some point Judas would signify who Jesus was by giving him a kiss. However, before this event actually happened, we have the event of the Passover, where Jesus already knows exactly what Judas has already conspired into his heart. And Jesus, gathering around for this Passover, sharing this meal, says, "One of you tonight will betray me." And if each of us, his disciples, go around one by one, saying, "Surely not I, Lord." But Jesus says, "The one who dipped his hand in the bowl with me, he is the one." And Judas says again, "Surely not I, Lord." But Jesus says, "It is as you have said." Shortly after, Jesus takes the very bread, and he breaks it, and he gives it to them. He says, "Take, eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he blesses the cup, and he says, "This cup is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. For I will not drink of it new with you until I drink it new with you in the kingdom of heaven." This setting was a memorial setting of a remembrance of Jesus, of what he was about ready to do. Jesus says, "This very night, all of you will fall away from me." And each one of them says, "I will never fall away from you." Specifically, Peter says, "Lord, I will never fall away from you." However, Jesus looks right back at Peter. He says, "This very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter says, "Lord, I will never deny you. In fact, I would die for you." But Jesus confirms this denial momentarily. After they had broken the bread, and after they had taken the cup, they went out to the Mount of Olives to sing a hymn. Their journey traveled to the Garden of Gethsemane. And it's at this moment, all of the pain, all of the emotions of what Jesus had just promised were now affecting his heart. So much so that when he kneels down to pray, the sweat from his body was like blood. And he goes about a stone's throw away from his disciples, Peter, James, and John. And he kneels down to pray, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will be done, but your will be done." And about an hour later, he comes back over to the 3 disciples and he finds them sleeping. He says, "Couldn't you stay awake? Couldn't you keep watch? Do not let your heart be tempted. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray." And he goes over and he kneels down and prays again, saying the very same thing, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will be done, but your will be done." And he comes back and he finds his disciples sleeping once more. says the same thing to them. Watch and pray. He goes away for the third time and he kneels down to pray and he comes back for the third time, finds his disciples once again, and he says, come and let us go, for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed. And as they were still speaking, Judas, with the Roman cohort, comes upon in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he walks up to Jesus and Jesus looks at him and says, do what you have come for. And Judas says, Hail, Rabbi. And he kissed him on the cheek. And the Romans began to seize Jesus. And they bound him with chains. And Peter rushes over and he grabs the sword and he cuts the ear off of Malchus. And Jesus looks over at him and says, put down the sword. For those who live by the sword shall die by the sword. And he kneels down and he picks the ear off of Malchus and puts it back on. And he looks over at Peter and he says, don't you know that these things must happen in this way? For I could call 10 legions of angels and they could deliver me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled in this way. And they took Jesus and they led him away, beating him upon the journey. They take him before Caiaphas. And upon Caiaphas, there the high priest stood, accusing him, bringing all these accusations against Jesus. And Caiaphas looks at Jesus and he says, are these things so? But Jesus just stood there silent. Question after question, silence came from Jesus. Finally, Caiaphas looks at Jesus and he says, are you the Christ, the Son? And Jesus replies, it is as you say. Blasphemy rises up out of the high priest and they tear their robes. And they demand that he be put to death. But Caiaphas says, I find no fault in this man. You go take him over to Pilate. And so they spat in his face. They beat him once more again on their way to Pilate in the middle of the night. And they bring him to Pilate. Pilate says, what accusations? What do you bring forth of this man? And they said, this man blasphemies. Says he's a god. Pilate takes him away. Questions Jesus. Are you a king? And Jesus says, it is as you say. So you are a king. Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would come here and they would deliver me. For as it is, my kingdom is not of this world. But you would know this if you knew the truth. Pilate said, well, what is truth? Jesus said, I. Pilate takes Jesus right back out to the high priest and says, I find no fault in this man. However, the high priest rises up this crowd, demanding he be put to death. Pilate realizes there's a riot about ready to occur. He says, it is customary that we release one man for you. We have this man Barabbas, notorious robber, notorious thief. There, we will release him. They said, no. Release Barabbas. Pilate said, well, what should we do with this man called the Christ? And they shouted, crucify him. Pilate was not in agreement with this. However, he washes his hands and he says, his blood be upon your heads. And all the high priest says, his blood be upon us and ours. Pilate led Jesus away. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman court around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, a reed on his right hand, and they knelt down before him. And they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! They spat on him, and they took a reed and began to beat him on the head. After they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off of him, and they put his garments back on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, whom they pressed into service to bear his cross. Jesus had been beaten with the cat of nine tails over 40 times, mocked, joked, the thorns pressed on his head, now bears a cross that his brutal body is too weak to bear. And they led him out to the place of the skull called Golgotha. And it was there that they take the nails and they drive them through his hands and through his feet. And above his head read a sign, "Hail, King of the Jews." As in a mockery, as in a joke. And they raised Jesus up upon this cross. And the words that rang out from Jesus at the moment was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Momentarily, there's two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. The one on the right says, "This man does not deserve to be up here. He's done nothing wrong." The one on the left just kept cursing Jesus and mocking him. The one on the right looked at Jesus and says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." They mocked him. They took a sponge with sour wine and gall and they raised it up to his mouth in mockery of him being in thirst, and he spit it out. Standing below him, they said, "If you are the King of the Jews, then come down from there. Prove yourself." But darkness fell over the whole land between the sixth hour and the ninth hour. And it is about the ninth hour that Jesus looks up and he says, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken?" Winds began to blow and the earth began to shake. Jesus bowed his head and said, "It is finished." And he yielded up his spirit. And the temple veil was torn in two from top to bottom, and some of the saints who were already dead had risen up out of the tombs and began walking out into the street. And as the people ran and they were feared because of all the wind and all that was going on, a centurion man stood before the feet of Jesus and said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." And a man named Joseph of Arimathea came and requested to care for the body of Jesus. And they took him down off the cross and they wrapped him in linens and they laid his body into a tomb. 3 days later, some women came upon that tomb to bring spices and realized that the tomb was now empty. And an angel of the Lord says, "Why do you come to seek the living among the dead? He is not here, for he is risen." And they went into the city and they shouted for joy, speaking to all of them, telling the disciples that he is risen, he is no longer here, and all the things that he had promised us, they have come to fruition. One of the disciples, named Thomas Didymus, did not believe. 8 days later, Thomas says, "Unless I put my hands upon his side, unless I put my fingers into the hands where the nails were imprinted, I will not believe." And on that eighth day, Jesus walks upon them and says, "Peace be with you." And he looks at Thomas and he says, "Thomas, place your hand into my side. Place your finger into the hands where the nails were, but do not do unbelieving, but believing." Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus walked the earth for over 40 days and appeared to over 500 men. And after that 40th day, he is now ascended into heaven. And the angel of the Lord stood there amongst them in Jerusalem after Jesus gave them the promise of the Holy Spirit coming upon them on the day of Pentecost. The angel of the Lord says, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven, he will come in the same way as you just watched him go." Our Lord and our Savior died for our sins. There is no words written in this book, and there's no video that you can watch could give us the full depiction of exactly what he went through. But the mere fact remains is he suffered. And he bled and he died for us. The one thing that I cannot forget when I take of that bread is that his body was beating for me. Think about that. A place where I deserve to stand and a place where I deserve to be punished. He did not allow me to go through that. He does not allow you to go through that. He goes through all that and so much more for us. So much so, he looks at his own father and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." And in the same breath, he says, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me?" There's no other moment in the history of mankind, there's no more moment of crucial pain from the moment when Jesus looked at his father and says, "Why have you forsaken me?" We allowed God to forsake his own son by the sins that we committed. And I don't know if God in heaven ever felt any pain in heaven whatsoever, because God is loving, and I don't know if he can feel pain, but if he ever felt pain at any other moment in his life, it was the moment his son hung upon the cross for our sins. The moment the pain that Jesus felt by bearing our sins, I feel to some degree that the Father felt the same way. For they are one because of us. And as sad as that really is, and as painful that really is, the greatest aspect of all that is, you know what, I could have told you that whole story and I could have stopped at the moment that Jesus was crucified and died. That's not the story, folks. When we take this and Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me," we don't just talk about the death and the burial. The pinnacle of all of this, the hope of what Jesus did, was the fact that he rose again. 3 days later, today he sits at the right hand of the throne of God for us. In other words, he didn't just die and that was just it. We don't just die and that's just it. We have a resurrection hope because of what he did for us. Our entire lives are not built up and all of a sudden we die and just that's it. That's just the beginning. Death is the beginning of what's about to come for all eternity. They thought Jesus was defeated. Satan thought Jesus was defeated when he killed him. The Romans, same thing. The Jews, same thing. 3 days later, he rises again. And my hope this morning is that you live the rest of your life believing. As Thomas was faced with the doubt that Jesus rose again. Sometimes we live with that same sense of doubt. Now we cannot take our hands and put it aside, and we can't take our fingers and put it upon his palms. But everything we do for the rest of our lives, we do it believing. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15, Jesus says, "For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them." This is the basic, fundamental, elementary principles of Christianity. Yet, we quickly often forget We no longer see, we no longer hear. We feel like this doing once a week is a repetition of, Jesus died for my sins. Yeah, I know. Let's go. Come on. Let's take it. Let's go on. Come on. I got more important things to do. If everything that you do in the morning service or in evening service or any service, anything that you do, the most important thing you do is that right there. Because of what He did for you and what remains for you. If you focus your mind, you focus your heart upon anything that you do this morning, please do it here. Jesus asked, do this in remembrance of me. Sure, we say it's a command. Absolutely it is. It's a command that we partake of it, but it's a request out of love, out of appreciation, out of respect that we do it in remembrance of Him. It is my encouragement and my prayer this morning that you open up your eyes. That you allow your ears to be open and that your heart is pierced with the love of Christ, of His death, His burial, and His resurrection. But then live life with hope. There's no other event in history that could declare the love of God other than through His Son. God loves you so much that He gave His own Son for us so that we shall not perish, but that we would have eternal life. The invitation is for anyone this morning to repent of sin in their lives that has overtaken them, to be baptized for the remissions of those sins, to be joined into the death of Jesus Christ, but also to rise up anew in eternal life with Him. If that invitation is for you this morning, may you come forward now as we stand and sing.